or by choice, you could say also, are reduced as to a beginning to the human reason and the will, right? So everything's explained, right? And you look around the world, what you see, what, it's natural things and artificial things. What we know the causes of natural things is nature, and the cause of artificial things is art, so everything's accounted for. Why bring in some, why complicate things to bring in some other cause? That's the objection, right, huh? Okay. Now, the beginning of fewness in science there, which some people call the principle of simplicity, but I could say fewness better, maybe. The beginning of fewness is that fewer beginnings or causes are better if they are enough, right? That's the principle, right? So this argument is trying to say, hey, this is enough to explain what we see, so why go with some other astute clause? Huh? Okay. But against this, that was interesting, it's in contrast that he chooses, huh? But against this is what is said in Exodus 3, verse 14, when the person of God, I guess when Moses asked him, who's sending me? What should I tell them? Who sent me? And I am who am, right? Huh? That's a pretty definitive text on the contrary, right? Mm. Okay. So Thomas says, I answer, it should be said that for God to be is able to be shown in what? Five ways, huh? Now in the Summa Contra Gentiles, the other major work in theology as a whole, by Thomas, you have five ways too, huh? Okay. But the five ways or the five arguments are not exactly the same, right? The first argument here is going to be from motion, right? Mm-hmm. But in the Summa Contra Gentiles, the first two arguments are from motion. Mm-hmm. Okay? So there's two arguments from motion. And one of those arguments is given here, but not the other. And the one that's given here, there's some backup for the, what, premises, right? But in the Summa Contra Gentiles, there is even more backup for the same premises. Huh? Okay. Now the second argument here will be from the maker. God is the first efficient cause, maker, and that would be in the Summa Contra Gentiles, the third argument then. Okay. And then you have as your third argument here, the one from the possible and the necessary. Starting off from what is able to be and not be, going to what is necessary. Now that's not one of the five in the Summa Contra Gentiles. Huh? But it is given in the chapter on, does God exist, right? But it is given a little bit later on. Okay? But the reason he gives in backing up the one of the premises is different in the Summa Contra Gentiles and the reason given, what? Here, right? Okay? Okay? As I mentioned, huh? In the first argument for motion, the premises used in the argument are backed up with, you know, three reasons, huh? In the Summa Contra Gentiles, here it's just one, right? Okay? But in the third argument, which is repeated in the, or anticipated, I should say, in the Summa Contra Gentiles, which was earlier, he backs up one of the premises with a different reason than he gives here, right? So he could have combined the two and given two reasons for the same, what, premise, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then the fourth and fifth are somewhat similar, huh? To what you have in the Summa Contra Gentiles, huh? So in the Summa Contra Gentiles, the arguments for motion, you could say, are much more developed, right? Okay. And you begin to see how the arguments for motion depend upon understanding of the whole of the, what, the physics of Aristotle, the eight books of natural hearing. Yeah? And some middle terms will be drawn from book six and some from book eight and so on, right? Okay. I just mention that because sometimes Thomas is brief about something, sometimes he, what, unfolds it, right? Okay. And sometimes you'll find that Thomas will be more unfolding, more expansive or more developed, right, in an earlier work than in a later work. Like the Summa Cum Gentiles is before this, right? But vice versa, the Summa Theologiae also, and in general later works, sometimes will develop something more than an earlier work does. Okay? So, that's why I kind of think it's funny when they argue that the Gospel of St. Mark must be the first Gospel because it's the shortest, huh? Uh-huh. And one time we had to do a Gospel in the parish, and we had to select one of the Gospels to do, and we decided to do Mark because we thought we could get through it in the period that we were, you know, that time. But the fact that the Gospel of Mark is the shortest, does that mean that must have been the first one written? Mm-hmm. See? Because then you have to say, well, he's shorter here in the argument for motion than in the Summa Cum Gentiles, therefore the Summa Theologiae must have been written before. That doesn't follow, right? Huh? Mm-hmm. And I know myself sometimes when I'm thinking about something and multiplying my thoughts about it and really going into it, and I develop it some time, and then at a later time, I come back and state the same thing more briefly and succinctly, and maybe better, maybe not better, maybe less developed, but you just can't judge things in that way, huh? Mm-hmm. It's sometimes, and vice versa, I'll take something I thought about before, something expanded later on in time, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a fact of life, mm-hmm. but I think it does, right? But this will also expand a little bit the difference in the order of the consideration of the divine substance in the two summas. Mm-hmm. Because in the Summa Cum Gentiles, the first of the five attributes of the divine substance that are considered in both summas, right? The first one he'll consider in the Summa Cum Gentiles is that God is unchangeable. Mm-hmm. And it's almost, you know, already determined by the full development of the argument for the unmoved mover, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of natural to begin with God being unchangeable, right? Mm-hmm. But here, it's not until the fourth attribute of the five that he takes it up, right? Okay? So that's kind of an important difference, right? But it's kind of connected with the fact that the arguments for motion are much more developed. There's two of them, and even the one that's given here is much more developed there. Okay? So sometimes one has to go back to an earlier one. I'm not going to do that here, but I mean, you can realize sometimes, huh? He's more brief, and sometimes if someone has difficulties, right? Someone's writing an article, which I had to look over for the journal on the third argument here, right? Huh? Sometimes it's just kind of brief, Thomas, here, right? Huh? But you can go back to the first book on the universe and Aristotle, there, with Thomas Kamsan, and go through six lectios and come away maybe with a better understanding of the premise here, right? Okay. But we don't always, you know, elaborate everything. Okay.
What question is it in the Summa Cum Gentiles where he deals with the argument from necessity?
It must be the one, there's any passive potency in God, right?
Okay.
Okay. But it's just one or two chapters after, about two chapters or after the existence of God, right?
Okay.
Now again, a little caution there, as I mentioned before. I had a seminar from Charles de Connick on the five ways, huh? And we were all, like, you know, last year students and so on, so it's advanced students. de Connick actually began the course by talking about faith, right? Mm-hmm. And how he believes in the existence of God more from what his mother had told him than from the study of the arguments, right? And he's trying to give us kind of a fatherly talk, you know, that some people, you know, are looking for more than they can get out of the arguments, right? Maybe not more than somebody can get out of the arguments, but than they can get out of it, right? and the need of faith, as Thomas said before, right, because of our